Final hour on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are going to talk some Preds to start off hour number three. We'll get back into the Titans, but we were just having the conversation about where game day is going to be. Will it be on Broadway? Will it be on Vanderbilt's campus? And on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, again, like, it's just a texter. We don't know if it's verified or anything, but 5662 says, my company handles the equipment for game day setup. We are delivering to Vanderbilt campus. So take it with a grain of salt, but if that's true, we'll get our wish, and it will be on Vanderbilt's campus.
Or maybe they're holding the equipment at Vanderbilt's campus and then
moving it to Broadway.
Moving it somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, I have no reason not to believe that that's true. So we'll see. I think they'll make that announcement and probably put out a map of what it's going to look like within the next couple of days. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's talk some Smashville. Preds back at home after their four-game Canadian road trip. Ended with a little bit of a whimper towards the end. You got off to a strong start. You beat Ottawa on Canadian Thanksgiving on the road. A hard-fought win. But then you drop one to Toronto, 7-4 in a back-to-back, which is, it's always going to be tough. Then you kind of choke one away against Montreal. Cole Caulfield scores with 20 seconds left after Jonathan Marchessault had his shot into the empty net blocked. And then Winnipeg, President's Cup winner last year, took care of business. They were up 3-0, ended up winning 4-1. But the Preds, in terms of expectations, they have stayed above the waterline. You're 2-2-2. You've got 6 points through your first six games, which way better than last year, right? Now you have 5 straight at home, 9 of the next 11 at home, and 6 of those 11 games are against non-playoff teams. It feels like if the Preds are going to compete for a playoff spot, this is the stretch of the season that you've got to establish yourself as a team that can be in a playoff spot, because you're going to play a lot of games on the road the rest of the year after that.
Yeah, and you know, everybody's talked about how the Preds need to get off to a hot start. Sure, they're 2-2-2, but you make a great point, Jake. 6 of those 11 teams that are not playoff teams from last year, you have to capitalize on those type of games, because if you don't, then you put yourself behind the eight ball trying to really just keep your head above water, which is what they're doing now. And again, it sounds crazy keeping your head above water, you're 2-2-2, and I get it. You're at the bottom of the Central Division, but you got to keep the glass half full. Don't look at it as a negative. And I know I just emphasized that as a negative, but I think the Preds are in a better position than they were last year. This team is starting to, I don't want to say click on all cylinders, but the chemistry is there. I think the chemistry is starting to show a little bit. We'll see how the rest of it plays out for this home stretch, but I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I think you've seen that this team can play up to the level of the talent that they have. Mm-hmm. But it just hasn't been consistent enough. And Andrew Brunette has been switching up the lines. Max Herz just put out the Monday practice lines, and they've flipped it again. Stamkos was playing with Forsberg and O'Reilly. According to Max Herz, yesterday at practice, Luke Evangelista was on the top line now on that right wing. It looks like Jonathan Marchessault is not going to play again after he missed Saturday's game. So you have Bunting, Halla, and Stamkos. Svechkov is now on a line with Brady Martin and Tyson Jost. So it's a lot of shuffling going on, trying to find the right combination. But you have seen flashes from guys like Michael Bunting. And I think Luke Evangelista has played better than you expected after missing all of training camp. You really need your stars to step up. You need Forsberg and Stamkos and Josi. Those guys have to be impact players if this team is going to go anywhere this season.
Yeah, and seeing Max's tweet there with a Halla and Stamkos Bunting line, I feel like Stamkos would benefit from Eric Halla, who's looked really good this season in comparison to, you know, years past. I mean, this is a guy they brought back that thought that he could really contribute, and he's looked really well this year.
Max also put out there that Jonathan Marchessault is on the ice for morning skate today, but not on a power play unit, so would not expect him to play today. So expecting Jonathan Marchessault to miss today's game, but the good news is you expect it's not long-term for him. The power play units that Max put out for morning skate, Yossi, Stamkos, Forsberg, Evangelista, O'Reilly. So Luke Evangelista taking that spot normally held by Jonathan Marchessault. Second power play unit, Brady Shea, Justin Barron, Eric Halla, Brady Martin, and Michael Bunting. And it looks like Brady Martin going to return to the lineup after he did not play at all on the Canadian road trip, correct?
Yes.
Or did he play against Winnipeg? I don't think he did.
No, he didn't.
So yeah, they've kind of been conserving him, protecting him, getting him reps where they can before that 9 games comes up and he has to head back to juniors. So,
and I think it's smart too, because you're when you pick and choose battles with a rookie like that that you know has a limited amount of games, that's something you could say, you know what, maybe we can actually get something out of this. Like if you prolong this to, I don't know, but trying to figure out the best way to describe this. Like you mentioned earlier, those 6 of 11 games came against teams that were not playoff contenders.
Not playoff teams from last year.
Not playoff teams from last year. I think if you can emphasize that with a guy like Brady Martin in the lineup in those games and see, hey, this guy actually has some pretty darn good talent that could help us this season, because you look at momentum, and if you're a hockey player, especially a guy like Brady Martin who's a youngster like that, and he has that momentum that can carry him into those very big games, those games that could get you over the hump when it comes to points later on in the season, sure, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, I think Brady Martin, what they're doing I think is smart. You're keeping him around the NHL team for as long as possible because those are important reps, not just playing, but practicing and traveling and being around the veteran guys in your locker room. That's important. And I kind of agree with not playing him much on the road, because you don't get the last change, and it's like you put him out there on the ice not knowing what the other team is going to send out for him. When you're at home, you can say, all right, here's a good spot to put Brady Martin in, and maybe he only gets 10 to 15 minutes of ice time in a game, but those can be valuable reps for him to get his feet wet before you send him back to juniors, which seems like that's what the plan is going to be.
Right, and if you're prioritizing these home games for Brady Martin, he is comfortable at home, I guess is the best way to put it. You don't have to adjust on the fly to away games. So that's another aspect to look at it. But overall, like I like to see what, this McCarron-Smith-Weisblatt line comes out to be. Because like we've seen in years past, Preds teams, those lower tier lines, they always seem to produce a lot more.
Yeah.
And if that's the case this year, then they could have a really good case for being a playoff team.
Yeah. The fourth line, if there's one thing you can say about the Preds, it's usually the fourth line that shows up and is going to be consistent. Now, they're not going to be scoring goals for you all the time, but sure, they're going to show up and they're going to play some good hockey. Fedor Svechkov moved down out of the top six. Been a tough start for him. That's somebody to keep an eye on here as we head into this home stretch. Let's head back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland is on the line, wanting to talk some Preds. Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Can you hear me, Jake, man?
Yep, we got you, Adam.
Yeah, it's wild, man. So a lot of people, it's funny, they didn't really, hype Eric Halla when he was signed. He's my favorite player we've had in, 5 years. Like, anybody who can get under the other team's skin, he does, which is fun. Like, it's so funny watching him, especially against, I think it's Carolina that freaks out on him. But the Preds, they're 2-2-2 or 2-2-1, whatever it is. They're not 0-5, but they're not – really frustrating to me, dude. I don't know what it is. I don't want to be that guy, but, if Burrell was the problem, he's still here. If Soros was the problem, he's still here, and they're still doing things they were doing last year. So I don't know, dude. Yeah, that's coming up, but I'm not fully convinced that anything's changed just because you're not 0-5. We're still losing games. Soros is still beating them, eating goals sometimes. I don't know, dude. I'm not there yet. That's all I can say.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying that, yeah, you're not 0-5, but this team also has given away a couple of games that if you're a team that's going to make the playoffs, those are games you have to win. UC Saros is not the problem, though.
Yeah, I think it's the defenders that are kind of getting their feet under them, and Nick Perbix, and you look at a guy like Spencer Stastny, who thought about hanging up the skates last season.
So Nick Hague still has not made his Predators debut. You hope that happens soon.
Right. So if you add all those factors into the equation, sure, the product may not look top-notch, crystal clear now. I don't want to say give it some time because there's not a lot of time in this 82-game season, but just give it a little bit more time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a bad word choice. I get it.
We don't know what this team is going to be yet, and They got off to a strong start, getting 3 points in their first two games at home, but then you only get 3 points on the road in those four games in Canada, and it is tough because I think if you just don't give up that goal at the end of regulation to Montreal and you get out of there with 2 points, even losing to Winnipeg the way they did last week, I think you still feel good, but losing that extra point in Montreal, that one is going to sting, and I'm sure it already does, but we'll see what happens when they're back home. They look good in their first two games at home. I mean, you lost in overtime to Utah, but you got Anaheim tonight. I told Max, I know that that Trevor Zegras is no longer on the Ducks, but the Bongo Anthem, break it back out tonight. Throw off the Ducks again. Still my favorite interview, I think, that I've ever seen on have you seen this, the Regional Sports Network last week? They interviewed Trevor Zegras after the Ducks beat the Preds last year, and they're like, "You guys struggled in the first period, but then found a groove. What happened?" He goes, "Well, I think the Bongo National Anthem really threw us off." And it was so funny seeing the guy playing the bongos, singing the National Anthem. And the Ducks said that that actually bothered them in the first half, or the first period. So
interesting.
We'll see. They play tonight.
Go back and watch that.
7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5. The Game. Make sure you tune in all day for some Preds talk. We'll talk a little more Preds on the other side before getting back into the Titans to wrap up the show. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Little Garth Brooks on this Tuesday morning. Heard some Saturday afternoon in First Bank Stadium, too. We had to shout out yesterday the Vandy, like, in-game experience team because, man, the trolls after the Alabama win and the LSU win have been absolutely fantastic. Vandy also avoiding a fine with their delayed field rush on Saturday.
Good
so,
for them.
You know, but to be fair, I don't think the students were going to rush the field. Like, Vandy has gotten to the point where they don't rush the field against a top 10 team when they win.
Just means
and,
more.
And it happens so fast, too. Like, I remember when I was in college, my freshman year, Virginia Tech beat Duke in basketball. And this was a year Tech was good. They were like 15th in the country at this point. But it was the Zion, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish team. And we stormed the court. And kind of got childlike on.
Don't do that again. The finger wag.
You're too good for that. And it's like, I don't know if we are. Vandy students, I was watching the student section as the clock hit zero, and it's not like there was this big push that security had to hold them back. So do want to mention that. Anyway, back to the Predators. Predators start a 5-game homestand tonight against the Ducks. And you mentioned they are at the bottom of the Central Division, which is crazy because, I mean, it just shows you how good the Central is. But they're also just one point out of a playoff spot right now with a game in hand against Chicago and Minnesota. So it's so early to be talking about this.
Right.
But after 5 games last year, again, you're not 0-5. You were 8 points out of a playoff spot, I believe. Now you're only 1 point out. You've still got everything you want to do in front of you. And just as I said, this stretch feels super important. Playing 9 of the next 11 at home, it's not like you're playing the Avalanche and the Jets and the Oilers every single night. You got a couple games against the Canucks, a couple games against the Flyers. Like, there are some winnable games on the schedule over the next couple of weeks. And if you can put yourself in a playoff spot at that time, heading towards American Thanksgiving, I think you put yourself in a great spot to just stay in that playoff mix. And I don't think this team's going to win the Central, but they could be a wild card team this year. It has to start now, though. Like, you can't put yourself in a hole because we've seen what happens. Unless you have another 19-game point streak in the back pocket, you're probably not going to be able to dig yourself out of it.
Yeah, and if we know that if there's one team in the NHL to do that, that's the Preds. But, I mean, you make a great point about, you know, Thanksgiving. That's normally the line of demarcation when it comes to, you know, if you're making the playoffs or not, if you're in a spot by then. And if the Preds are 500, if they have an even record by Thanksgiving, I think you can say it's been a success so far this season. Because right now, obviously being last in the Central, but again, there's a lot more games to come.
It's just the Preds are such an interesting team because the name value on this roster, you look at it and you're like, man, they could be really good.
Yes.
But you also had the third worst record in hockey last year. So it's like you got to kind of temper expectations of this team as constructed didn't really work last year, and you made minimal changes. You haven't seen Nick Hague, who I would say is probably the biggest addition that they made this offseason.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they didn't add a ton in terms of forwards. You brought in Eric Halla, and Brady Martin is playing right now at times. But Nick Hague was probably the biggest addition that you made. We haven't seen him on the ice. So hopefully he's out there soon and you can get a good view of what this team looks like at full strength. Brady Martin likely going to play tonight. Zach on our YouTube chat said he wants to see Brady Martin. I believe that's going to be the case. According to Max Herz, he was on the third line with Fedor Svechkov and
Jost.
Yes, Tyson Jost. So looks like we'll see Brady Martin for his third NHL game tonight. This feels like an important one coming off of, an ending to that Canadian road trip that...
A little sour.
Right. Like, you were 2-1-1 heading to Montreal. And you could say, like, hey, one win and we're in a great spot. And you had it in the bag and lost it. And then just not really all that competitive against Winnipeg. It's... You went from a spot where there was some meaningful hope for this team to kind of being shot out. You could get some of that back if you can win the opener of the homestand tonight.
Absolutely. I think if you win tonight, it kickstarts your home stretch. And in all honesty, if you go on the road and you're coming off a home loss, some people think, oh, that can kind of make you go into a little bit of a slump. No, this team is capable of just bouncing back, like, immediately. It just... They had a tough Canadian stretch. I think that Canadian road trip is always tough because you're traveling night in and night out. You're on away games. So being at home, I think, is a huge catapult for this team.
Five straight at home for the Preds starting tonight. Anaheim in town. That is a 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. So make sure you tune in. And DVD will be live out there at Bridgestone Arena for their show starting at 3. You've got Vancouver on Thursday, then a back-to-back over the weekend with Los Angeles and Dallas, and then Tampa Bay a week from tonight wraps up that five-game homestand. But again, you've still got 9 of the next 11. You go to Philly, you come right back home for a weekend. You go to Minnesota, you come right back home for 2 more. So a lot of home games at Bridgestone Arena. A lot of Saturday nights in Smashville. Chance for this Preds team to continue what has been a solid start to the year. But you obviously need more after the way that Canadian road trip ended. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your texts and calls on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will finish up the show talking some Titans. Cam Ward is the big topic around here. Shocker. Like, that hasn't been the case since April. And there's been some issues for Cam Ward. It's 7 games in. But what are we most concerned about with Cam Ward, and how fixable do we think these issues are for the rest of the season and heading towards next year? We'll talk about that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday morning. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Mike McCoy talking about Cam Ward's unforced fumble on Sunday against the Patriots. Just dropped back to pass, ball slipped out. And New England took it back for a touchdown, basically ending the game halfway through the third quarter. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly finishing up the show over these last couple segments with some Titans talk. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour. And they're out at, is it Tennessee Brew Works today?
That's correct.
So they'll be out there at Tennessee Brew Works. Make sure you tune in with them. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game. For Cam Ward, you're 7 games in. And the red flags are certainly concerning with what you've seen. And I think I said it to you during the break. The bad habits from him are worse than I expected them to be. But it's also just 7 games. And I think you have to start to ask the question, what about his problems are fixable and what aren't? And the footwork is something that gets brought up a lot. It's pretty typical for young quarterbacks to have issues with their footwork and not have their feet synced up with the rest of their body. I saw a throw from Drake May on Sunday where they were kind of backed up against their own goal line. And he threw the fade route And he did the same thing that Cam Ward typically does, where his feet are perpendicular to where he's throwing the football, but he can do that with the arm talent. And I think Cam Ward has that ability, but we've seen it on some of those throws, especially to his right, where the footwork ends up leading to an inaccurate throw. So it's one of those things where, yes, it needs to be cleaned up, but is it something that I think is going to completely derail his career? I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, if I'm Cam Ward, and again, Parker, please interject if I'm incorrect on
this. Yeah, we got our quarterback coach over there.
If I'm a rookie quarterback and I'm Cam Ward, focus on your pocket presence first, then work your footwork, then work your read progressions. Yes, no, incorrect, correct, Parker?
Sorry, I was fumbling my water bottle back here.
That's okay.
read that. Say that one more time.
I'm just saying, if you're a rookie quarterback in Cam Ward having all these fumble turnover hiccups right now, work on your pocket presence first, then your footwork, then your read progressions, and go from there, right?
The thing about it is that this is where it ties into what's around him, because I don't know if Cam Ward truly feels comfortable in the pocket, so things get sped up for him. That's what I'm worried about mostly. Jake, you brought up the point about when he rolls to his right. I think when you're on the run, it has more so to do with the release point. He may be releasing the football too early, which causes the ball to sail rather than. Is that what you're
no,
saying?
No, so see, like when he's on the move, I think he's more accurate somehow.
Right.
Like it feels like he's comfortable when he's moving. It's some of those throws, like we saw to Elik Iemanner on the first drive of the game, where he's in the pocket and the feet, he doesn't get his feet set and he throws it behind the receiver. It led to the pick with Chig. There was another throw where he kind of like half set his feet and then airmailed Gunnar Helm down the sideline. It's all to the right. And I think that's one of those spots where the footwork is hindering him. But there's other times, maybe going left, where he's able to kind of have his feet a little bit wonky, right, and is still able to make that throw coming across his body.
Yeah, and I know Lewis Riddick has said this before, and I happen to agree with this 100%. Cam Ward has that's what makes guys like Patrick Mahomes and those guys so special, because they can do those off-platform throws, throw from different arm angles. If you take that aspect of Cam Ward's game away, you're kind of taking a part of special out of it.
Right.
However, just because you can doesn't mean you should do that all the time. There's a balance.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I was going to say. Is it's a balance of he has to be more consistent with his footwork, but you cannot coach what makes Cam special out of him, the off-platform plays that he can make. And there is a balance with that, and it's tough now that you have an interim coach, and the guys who are quote-unquote developing him right now probably aren't going to be here next year. So I think this offseason coming up is where it's going to be make or break for Cam Ward, because that first offseason, and we hear this from rookies at all positions, that offseason when you're drafted, I'm sure that is just drinking through a fire hose. Like, you end your season in January or December, whenever your bowl game is. Then you immediately go into draft prep, combine, you get drafted, you have mini camp, maybe you get 3 weeks off, and then boom, you're in training camp starting a new season. I think this offseason, when he has a year under his belt in the system and can actually start to work on some of the mechanical issues, I think that's going to be very valuable for him, because that stuff I think is fixable, of making the footwork more consistent, knowing when to use that sidearm throw instead of trying to get it over the top and making sure it isn't batted down. That stuff is fixable. What I'm concerned about is the ball security, right? Like the fumbles of dropping it with no one around you. And like the one with Devin White hitting him at the goal line, yes, the guy got there fast, within 2 seconds, but you got to protect the football. That's what I'm concerned about, is that has to be something in his head where you cannot hurt the team the way he has the last couple weeks, dropping the football leading directly to touchdowns for the opposing team.
Look, what I'm about to say, I'm not trying to compare him to Peyton Manning, but if we go back and watch old Peyton Manning highlights, what does Manning do in the pocket under center? He's got the ball up here by his ear with two hands on it. Two hands on it. If Cam can do that from time to time, just to play, you know, play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
If you just do that, you're okay. Like, but as for Cam now with the fumbles from here, like just it's almost like he's letting the ball go out of his hand. It just falls off the back shoulder, which, again, I guess his mind is working quicker than his body, and that's what's causing it. But I think this offseason, you're right, Jake, is a vital offseason for him to develop as a true NFL quarterback. What's Carson Palmer's brother?
Jordan Palmer.
Jordan Palmer. Take him out there to California, work with him a little bit. I think that's something that Cam Ward probably should do, is get some consulting from somebody that's worked with other quarterbacks in the NFL. And especially now that you have a full offseason under wide receivers that are rookies with you. And I've mentioned this since day one, since the draft, you're building chemistry with those rookie wide receivers. Now that they're kind of gelling a little bit, you go into a full offseason and learn their little quirks, what they like, what they don't like, and you do it with a guy like Palmer. I think that's something to look at.
Yeah, and of course, this team's going to add more talent around him, too. Like, you've got $125 million cap space. You've got draft picks as of now. You've got 7. You would hope that's more, whether that's trading players or trading back out of picks. So the team should be better next year. And with Cam Ward, quarterbacks in their second season, it typically goes one of two ways. It's like either you are a really good rookie, the NFL adjusts to you, and you struggle a little bit as you try and make the counter adjustments to continue to develop. Or you struggle year one, and you're able to figure things out, and the game slows down for you a little bit, and you start to figure it out, and it clicks. Look at Lamar Jackson. Like, Lamar Jackson didn't start his first season until about halfway through, but then his second season, he won the MVP. Because I think the game started to slow down for him a little bit. That's what you hope happens with Cam Ward. And the one thing I'll say about Cam Ward right now that is encouraging despite the struggles that he's had, because really there's not a single game I think you can look at with Cam Ward right now and say he played a good game. I think there's a lot of C games in there. There's some Ds, there's some Fs probably so far. I don't know if we have an A or a B game from Cam Ward quite yet.
What about Denver?
I think I said it was a B minus, actually. Okay. Denver probably was his most complete game, actually.
Yep.
Even though the stats probably wouldn't show you that.
If I'm Cam Ward and you're always struggling to figure out how can I be comfortable in the pocket, just watch that game over and over again of yourself and what you did differently that'll help you, you know, get better going forward, honestly.
And despite the struggles, the one thing that does give me a little bit of hope is that he's not misreading defenses. Like, there's one play this year where he has thrown it and a defender's been there and it was like, oh my goodness, what were you doing? That was the pick six against Colts.
Yep.
All of his other picks have been tipped, and we don't know whether the receiver's supposed to stop on some of those, but, you know, obviously it's not good and probably his fault with accuracy issues, but it's not like he's seeing things and throwing it right to a defender. Somebody's going to get upset that I'm bringing up Jackson Dart here. But that interception with 5 minutes left from the Giants against Denver on Sunday, Jackson Dart lobbed it to a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cam Ward has not done that often this year, of just thinking he sees something, throwing it, and oh crap, it's right at a DB. So, again, lots of red flags. He has not been good enough. But I think that's the one thing that gives me hope, is it's like, it seems like he is seeing the field in a way that he's not making those kinds of mistakes. It's just about processing a little bit quicker, getting the ball out faster, and taking care of the football.
Yeah, you're right. Just simply take care of the football, because it just leads to turnovers.
Well, Dustin from Hopkinsville says, let's face it, he's got one more phantom air fumble before he's becoming a meme like Levis. And honestly, it's a good point from Dustin. Like,
yeah.
You cannot just drop the ball. It cannot happen. It's happened 2 weeks in a row. Can't happen again. The rest of the season. Hopefully the rest of your career. But the rest of the season, you cannot have another play where no one is within 5 feet of you and you just drop the ball.
Look, I was joking when I said it, but in all honesty, keep two hands on the football like Peyton Manning did way back in the day. I know football has changed a little differently. Everybody likes that off-the-script style that Mahomes and what we're talking about now. But just put two hands on the football when you're going to rear back to throw something.
Top tier in the YouTube chat says, Ward's turnover-worthy play percentage is at the top of the league. I don't know if you mean top as in good or top as in bad, but I saw yesterday that Cam Ward actually only has 7 turnover-worthy plays, and he has 10 turnovers this year.
Oh.
Which I think I saw the percentage is 13th in the league. So,
middle of the pack.
You know, take that what you will. It's PFF, which, again, I'm not a huge PFF guy. But I did see on Twitter yesterday that he only has 7 turnover-worthy plays and 10 total turnovers. Top tier says good. So, yes, that's the point he was trying to make, too, is that yes, although Cam Ward, the turnovers have been bad, it's not like he's putting the ball in danger consistently and getting away with it a lot, right? Like,
right.
It would be different if we're like, man, Cam Ward has had 4 dropped picks too. That hasn't happened. So, again, just the development has to start, and it's got to start now. But I think, as we were talking about, this offseason coming up is going to be the make or break for Cam Ward. He's got to come out, and he has to be able to elevate to become a franchise quarterback because, again, I preach patience. 7 games is way too small of a sample size to make any decision one way or another. But in the NFL, you don't get more than 20 before teams start to pull the plug on you.
Yeah. Again, I'll reiterate it. It's you need to have somebody that has experience developing quarterbacks. I'm not talking Kevin O'Connell. I'm talking about Palmer, Jordan Palmer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they know each other, but if I'm Cam Ward,
I think Cam Ward does have a personal quarterback coach. Do you know this, Parker?
Oh, it's that guy from North Texas,
Eric Morris.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, he's one of the undercover like best in the business. Like he discovered Mahomes or played a part in discovering Mahomes, John Mateer, like a bunch of those guys.
Yeah, he worked. It was him, Shador Sanders, and Kyron Drones who worked out.
And like this is really like inside baseball here, but Drew Mestemaker at North Texas, that's where Eric Morris is now. Drew Mestemaker is one of the best quarterbacks in Group of Five, and fun fact, he never started a game in high school.
Wow. Interesting. Well, Cam Ward, a lot of it has to go into his personal development as a quarterback, and that see, that's the one thing you know with Cam Ward is he's not going to slack on it. Like, if this year continues to go the way that it has gone, he's going to hit the ground, and he's going to try and get better this offseason. It's not how, like you have to worry about him just, whatever.
Regressing.
Yeah, we'll see in July. He's going to hit the pavement, and he's going to try and improve. But you have to get somebody in the building who can develop him into a franchise quarterback. And that's why, I mean, this head coaching decision is the difference between this team being good in the next 2 to 3 seasons or a possible close to a decade-long rebuild if you don't get this right. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got one more segment on this Tuesday. We'll wrap things up after this. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Final segment, next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly wrapping up the show on this Tuesday. Chasing Big Joe coming up after us at the top of the hour. Tomorrow on the program, Corey Curtis joins us as he always does on Wednesdays. There'll be plenty to talk about with the Titans as they prepare for that game in Indianapolis on Sunday. And, of course, lots to get ready for with college football with Vanderbilt having game day. We've been told on campus against Missouri on Saturday. So lots of fun tomorrow. Make sure you tune in at 9 a.m. Wrapping up our conversation on the Titans, we were just going through some of the struggles that Cam Ward has had. What's correctable? What's not? What are you most concerned about? And for me, it's the ball security in the pocket. You can't fumble the football as much as he has. That's something that can be fixed, but it has to start soon because you can't have that start to get in his head. Like with Will Levis, the off-platform plays, he made consistent mistakes with those, and I think it got in his head. I don't think it's in Cam Ward's head right now. The way he talked about it is, I just got to hold on to the ball better, but he's got to be better now, and you can't have that happen again.
Look, if you're a Titans fan and you listen to these press conferences, and last year or 2 years ago when Will Levis said, oh yeah, I started journaling, that's really helping out my mental headspace. If you hear Cam Ward say that, you know it's over. You just start looking to another quarterback. And I don't think he will because kid seems like he has his head on his shoulders. He carries himself like a true pro. I wouldn't worry about that.
Jeff on the text line says, now since you guys have moved from weekends to 9 to 12 weekdays, you now think Cam Ward may not be the franchise quarterback after all. What else has changed other than giving up several good draft picks in order to acquire him? Again, the number one overall pick is the best value out of the number one overall pick, not to snatch up a potential very good quarterback. Jeff, I have not changed my stance on Cam Ward other than saying that, yeah, he hasn't come in here and lit the world on fire, but I wouldn't change a thing. I would not go back and take the Giants offer.
Yeah, I never said he wasn't a franchise quarterback.
Right, like it's too early to tell. Yeah. And it's like, I know that I was the biggest Cam Ward advocate on this station when going through the draft process, so I understand that the people are going to say stuff like that of like, what do you think now? Should have taken the offer? No. They shouldn't have taken the offer because if you have a chance to get a potential franchise quarterback, you only get the number one pick so many times. And I think they did the right thing in taking Cam Ward. He just has to develop, and that's on the organization to get the right pieces around him and the right coaching staff around him. Ryan in Florida asks, what about this wide receiver room? I think that's going to be a big focus in the offseason. I think, you know, do you bring back Calvin Ridley? I don't know. I don't know how much you can get out of it, but if he's around, that's fine. I think you need to make an addition in free agency. Go get a veteran wide receiver, two wide receiver, three type guy, and then I think you need a draft pick. I think you should go into next year with, like, if your wide receiver room next year is top 100 draft pick, Elik Iemanner, Chim DK, mid-range free agent, and Calvin Ridley, that is a good start to putting the weapons around Cam Ward that he needs to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm in a different headspace when it comes to draft capital with the Titans. I think you go majority defense. And if you want a wide receiver for Cam Ward, I'm looking way into the future, but I guess that's what you have to do as a figurative GM in the roundabout way.
Yeah.
I want to see if Titans somehow get Jeremiah Smith in 2 years.
Like, you'd either have to be bad or you trade back and get somebody else's first-round pick.
And like, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I mentioned it earlier in the show. That first-round pick this year, if you're able to trade that back for top 100 picks,
right,
make sure somewhere in that realm it's with a team that has a top five potential pick.
Well, and let's say, like, maybe it's the Dolphins or the Saints or somebody like that who trades up with a rookie quarterback and the way those rosters are constructed. You never know where that could end up. Look at the Bears and Panthers a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. The Panthers trade up to take Bryce Young. The Bears end up getting the number one pick out of it the next year. So you never know. But I would love Jeremiah Smith on this team.
Look,
Ryan Williams.
I know I always kid and whatever, and my takes sometimes may be 5 million years in the future, but that's just how I think. I think very long term, and I think that's something the Titans should look into is, you know, hopefully they are thinking that way long term.
Yeah.
Because right now it looks like they're just thinking short term, who's getting fired next.
We will see, and we talked about the trade deadline too. Titans could have some moves coming up in the next couple of weeks. Dr. Crane, always fun having you on.
Thank you. Always fun.
Make sure to keep it tuned right here. Nick Frazier will be with Chase and Big Joe as they are out at Tennessee Brew Works
Max
today.
Max is filling in today. Joe is
out.
Oh, yes.
Right. I'm sorry. Joe is on his way to Delaware.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah. For some Conference USA midweek action tomorrow night on 93.3 Total Hits. So Max and Chase out at Tennessee Brew Works. Make sure to keep it right here again tomorrow morning. Corey Curtis joins us at 9 o'clock as he always does on Wednesdays. Keep it tuned right here. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're on 102.5 The Game.